reorder.
How are y'all?
All right, y'all ready? All right. We'll call this Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. So what we've just to give you all an outline for today, we're going to take up some of our regular kind of agenda items this morning, and then we will get into our budget items, looking at the budgets and stuff. And then we'll have lunch, and we're gonna have some lunch brought in and take a short lunch, and then we'll jump back into it and get as much done as we can until we just can't do no more. And then if we need to meet Thursday evening to finish anything up, we'll meet Thursday evening. If for some reason we still have stuff, we can meet Monday evening, and then, you know, Tuesday's full court. And so hopefully we come back together and all pass the budget next Tuesday in full court. So that's a rough timeline of everything. I will start just by handing it over to our treasurer to give us a regular financial update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You go with the summary statement full court, January 1st, 2024, not October 31st, 2024. This is I'm sorry. I'm at the grabbing one thing of it. All right, let's start. If you look at the summary statement of full court from January 1st, 2024 to October 31st, 2024, county general fund $1,583,727.35, county road fund $2,789,768.91, county road sales tax $1,342,829,595.32, animal welfare control fund $1,616,047.15. Criminal justice sales tax fund 3407, $2,443,521.26. Coronavirus relief fund 1005, $953,891.99. Here's a new one I've added this month, and this is the ARPA revenue replacement. And that's 1006, $8,934,787.51. And then American Rescue Plan 3406. $4,989,211.49.
Scott, I just want to call out the difference between those two. The revenue replacement is basically the $10 million that we get to spend on whatever we want, and then the other one is the money with very specific requirements.
Absolutely. And the reason I started adding that, is after we transferred the $10 million over, we went from that American Rescue Plan having whatever had an $18 million to $8 million at the time, and I thought, well, Let's get to where that went and kind of where that's going so that we can track that all the way through. We've just got another couple of years with this revenue, with all this ARP stuff. So we might as well put it on there just so that y'all can see it. I'll be very transparent with that. Okay. Excuse me. If you flip away to page 2, that's our revenue chart. And so we have finally kind of busted above the 2023 number. here. Tax collections. One thing that we're really waiting on right now, and talking to this Woolley at the sheriff's office, we're waiting for nearly $1 million in prisoner housing to be able to say that hasn't been paid yet. So we really want to change that number. Hopefully, we get it in before the end of the year. If not, we can anticipate that for next year.
Do you know if that was like a delay in billing or a delay in getting paid? Because I know the system being down at the sheriff's office might have played into some of that.
The system being down at the sheriff's office, I presume that there was a day to delay in billing, but also I think there's a delay in getting paid.
Okay.
You know what I mean on that? And I don't see Sheriff Ford. Can you comment on that?
So, yes, our system being down during the process, but then also getting the reports from ADC was delayed with changes in administration on our behalf, but then also on the ADC's behalf.
Okay.
So we finally got all the reports in. We're able to finally verify all of them and everything up to current that we have received to verify has been emailed back and verified to them. So it's just a matter of receiving the checks back. The last reports that I sent to them took about a month turnaround to get it back. So I'm hopeful that we'll get it before the end of the year, or at least some of it before the end of the year, but I don't. We're at the mercy of him at this point.
Do you know roughly what that amount is?
What Scott was saying?
There's a $933,000 on one side and about $28,000 on the other side. It's close to $1 million.
So that explains the lagging in this red line here.
Yes. And so there's some other revenue sources that are down, fines and fees and things like that. But this is the big one. Okay, this is the one that we're with. When I did my projections for, not to get sidetracked here, but when I did my projections, I went ahead and projected that money to come in before the end of the year, because if it doesn't come in the end of the year, it's just not going to show up as carryover, it's going to show up as revenue. Knowing that it's coming is a big deal.
Yeah. You know? Well, because with sales tax increases that we see and with the conversation we've had and generally property tax revenues being up, you know, on average, 7.5%. It didn't make sense why the red line was not above the blue line here.
Some of that was just people when they paid the taxes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a timing issue on a lot of times where our revenue is just you pay them early, you pay them late. Switching to tax on page 3.
Actually,
I'm sorry.
Move on.
Absolutely.
That's okay. This may not be for you to answer, but you had mentioned that fines and fees are down. Why is that?
You see the numbers that are down. I can run those numbers for you here in a little bit and show you what the actual numbers are.
The numbers in our detention center are as high as they are. I'm just curious about fees and fines.
I don't have an answer. That has been a trend, not just this year, but over a number of years. Moving on to page 3, tax. Sales tax collected for October 24 is $1,193,073.61. That is 1.05% less than October 23. We are still currently 6.75% higher at this point than 2023. Page 4, total sales tax collected $12,327,297.19. That's 91% of our projection. We're going to look at almost $15 million here. Let's take that back. 14.5 million is what I projected. You know, original projection was 13.5 is going to be about 14.5. If the next 2 months come in like we turning back to page 3 is one point to mention here. Before we had that anomaly in January that really kind of skewed our numbers, taking about $450,000 out of that January, and I run those numbers every month, we're still about 4.4% of what we were last year. That's really the number that I'm kind of using as a trend number, not the 6.75.
Can I give you one more thing to add to your list, Scott?
Absolutely.
Just going back to our county general revenue, can we have just a percentage of increase from last year?
You're talking about on this chart right here?
Yeah, basically all of our county general revenue. What's our percentage of increase in revenue from last year? And then what is it when you add in what we're owed from the state as well? You know, where we kind of should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on the sales tax year to date versus 23. And that, like I said, there's an anomaly there in January. We're still at 4.25 without that.
Yeah.
And that's the numbers that I'm using in projections for next year. Well, yeah, kind of when without that percent of increase.
Awesome.
And I can get those numbers for you.
Yeah.
Here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. I like that we're here all day and we can, you know,
ask everything.
Yeah.
Sales tax. Last page is the sales tax numbers. On the chart. Once again, this chart, like I said before, is skewed. We're still below, 3 month moving average is still below the 1 month moving average, and I think it will continue to be until past January of next year. And then you'll actually see a fall in the 1 year moving average. The 3 month moving average will probably get back above it. What it is that, like I said, it's that January of last year, still on the 1 year moving average, it's holding that up. You can see there how it kind of really jumps up in January, and then it kind of plateaus off. I actually think you'll see a little bit of a fall coming in probably February of next year, and then it'll start climbing. I really need to put a chart together that has, like I said, has that anomaly out of it to give us a better idea of what's going on. I haven't done that yet. Are there any questions? Nothing.
That's right.
And if you'll excuse me, just a minute, I'll go write some numbers for you on the percentage increase and show you where they are as far as
Our codes. I think it's fine. No worries. Thank you, Treasurer.
Thank you.
All right, we will get into our regular agenda items. Y'all think y'all have a packet for that?
Yes, sir.
All right. I will hear a motion on 2447.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2447 on the table for discussion. Second.
Oh, that is 2447 right there. All right, we've got a motion and a second. Let's see. I guess this is just revenue from some election.
This is reimbursement from the primary.
Okay.
So we anticipate 60,000 in the budget already, and the reimbursement was 87,000 plus. So we're able to appropriate 27,000 back into the budget because we didn't anticipate that.
Perfect. Justice, any questions? All in favor of passing of 2447, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, we got 2448 next.
Motion for proposed ordinance 2448 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Justices, this is our annual passing of the millages.
I do want to point out that there are four rollbacks on here, three schools, which was Bologna, Mayflower, and
Greenbrier.
They all roll back. And the city of Greenbrier had to roll back their taxes from 5 to 4.9.
So we explain rollback.
So, no, let me explain rollback. So no taxing union is allowed to increase more than 10% in taxes after a revenue after a reappraisal year, and the assessor office did a reappraisal this year, and so after that we Chrissy and I put in these numbers on a formula from the state that determines what is more than 10%. Newly discovered can reduce that down, but these three schools and the city of Greenbrier didn't have enough to offset it, so they were having to roll back their taxes, so they don't their values are not. Is it values or
their millages go back?
The millages go back, but it's because of 10. You got it? I'm just tearing it up.
No, so
essentially, the total value of the property can't exceed 10%. So the millages have to be adjusted in order to deal with that increased value in those school districts. So because of the increase in revenue, they have to roll back the millage.
That's interesting. Okay. Copy that. Justices, any questions on it? Margaret, do we know if anyone approved a millage increase?
No millage increases are on here.
Okay. Justices, just to give you an idea of just a quick lesson in millages. So as you read across the top of the page, you'll see school district number, and then you see the school millage. So this is the millage that they assess on property taxes to fund the schools. The next one is county general, or no, city general, excuse me, the cities. So some of the cities, if you live in a city, your property is assessed a millage from the city. The county has our 4.5 mills that we assess throughout the county. The quorum court has the ability to raise that up to 5 without bringing it before the people. So we've kept that at 4.5 for a while. The last time it was increased was to build the criminal justice building off of South German Lane. It was increased by 0.9 mills to build that building. County road gets 2.8 mills. That's county road fund 2000 in our budgets. And then the library gets 1 mill. So that's kind of how that all equates into what your millage is, depending on what specific area you live in and the property taxes you pay.
And I probably should know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah.
So all of these different things, how do those get put on this millage thing?
What different things? What do you
mean? So like, for instance, the library. How did the library get put on there, but the museum didn't?
So that's like a vote of the people. So that was voted, I believe. Is that right? No? State?
No, I don't believe so. And I think that was a quorum court.
Okay.
And that's done by statute. It's different. It's complicated. But essentially, the statute allows for, I think, a quorum court to have that. Unless you know something else. But I think that's a quorum court issue.
Okay.
Does the quorum court also have the power to raise and lower that number?
I think there's a bandwidth on that. The museum doesn't have the same statutory authority. So library are different in that realm. If the quorum court wanted to put that millage on, then I think that probably would require a vote of the people. Meaning the museum, anything. Obviously the museum is part of the voluntary group right now.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to make it a permanent, much like the emergency squad, that would need to go to a vote of the people.
All these voluntary taxes are at the middle, which I believe is the emergency squad as well as the voluntary extension, soil conservation museum, animal shelter. And you can see all those at the bottom of the sheet, those voluntary taxes.
And one more question on voluntary taxes. These meals are just suggested meals, correct? You can pay any amount you wish.
As far as I know, I don't think the government's going to turn down any money.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's an easy box to check that just doesn't matter. Okay. But yeah, they wanted to give money.
Any more questions, Justices? Questions from the gallery? Very good. All right, all in favor of the passage of Ordinance 2448, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. What's next? Let's see. 24-49, do we have a motion?
Motion to put 2449 on the table for discussion.
Second.
I do not remember what AROPORT grant is. I don't remember. Yeah, push button.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So the AROPORT, that's the overdose response team.
Okay.
That you all approved last year. So this grant was kind of a work in progress. You know, they said, here, you some money, but didn't really tell us how it was going to operate. So we've received our year two check that will fund us to the first or August 30th of this year. But instead, so what they wanted is the year one check that they gave us, the funding. Any funding that you did not use for year one, we had to turn back to the opioid settlement. And same thing with year two, if there's any funding we do not use. Because the last year started September 1st, but by the time we got people hired, it was a little bit later than only in December. So, the money that you see before you is the appropriation that we will need to pay back year one funding to the settlement.
Copy that. Yes, any questions?
So that $18,000 is money that was given to us in the grant but was not used.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. And then section three, that'll be the for this year. That actually already kind of started September 1st to August 30th of 2025.
And that $18,000, was it strictly for the salaries, and that was the delay?
So there were some salaries. I think there was some change in benefits. Do you remember what all the different, I don't have it fairly well, the different periods of change were? Some of them, majority of them, I think, was salary that we didn't get people hired from the time that the grant first started.
It was all salary and benefits from the difference of when the grant period started to when we actually were able to hire both positions. And then there was two pieces of equipment that we had been approved to purchase through the grant, but we ended up using resources that we already had, and so we didn't purchase that. So that's why it had us on the next awesome year.
Section 2 needs a little more clarification. It doesn't say where you're moving the money. It says you're moving money, but it doesn't say where you're moving it to.
Section 2.
Transferring money, but you don't say where it's going. You give me the line items, but you don't tell me where else it's going.
I'm just transferring it within the budget.
Okay, but you're taking it. Okay, so you're taking it out of workers' comp. Okay, I see. Never mind. I thought it was across the board even.
Oh, no, just from those specific areas.
More questions, Justices? All right, all in favor of passage of 2449, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. On your motion for the next one.
Motion to put proposal ordinance 2450 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. There's a lot here, but I think it's just kind of the normal stuff. Never mind, it's not normal stuff, it's just a lot of sheriff's office overtime. Well, at least the second half is. But that's kind of normal for this time of year, so. Any questions? All in favor of passage of 2450, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. What we got next?
Hey. Yes.
Yes.
Oakwood Bridges, wasn't the name of that change from deputies and dispatchers?
It's not changing
till the next cycle. Okay.
A motion to put proposed ordinance 2451 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Justices, really what this is it's time to start spending some money on the new county jail before the end of the year. So we've got to appropriate, you know, we sat down and talked on the ordinance and or on the resolution, and we said we're going to put this much towards the county jail. Well, now it's time to actually appropriate that money so we can start spending it. Now, obviously, we're not going to spend $7 million between now and the end of the year, but we've got to spend some of it. So we're just go ahead and appropriate the whole thing. You'll see it again in the budget when we get to the ARP section of the budget. But glad they're starting to move forward on that. And we'll see something eventually on it. Now, any questions on that? Excited to get started. That's exactly right. All right. All in favor of 24-51, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right. And then we have a motion on the resolution.
Motion to put proposed resolution 2407 on the table for discussion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. And so what this is we've done this before, but it's basically a resolution to participate in a tax-backed program, helps economic development. But I'm going to make Corey Parks speak to it from our chamber. Ain't no telling.
Hi, speak up. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So, Corey Parks, Conway Development Corporation. What you have before you is a state incentive that you all, that you all sign off on, as well as if you all sign off, as well as the city council. It allows the company to receive a refund on their sales tax related to construction materials and any taxable equipment. And so this is just to encourage them more than anything to spend as many of their dollars locally, having a ripple effect on the original job creation. And just to add some additional context, so this is Clayton Home Building Group is bringing the former Spirit Homes facility that sat vacant for an extended period of time back online. They're initially going to create more than 250 jobs with the potential to expand. Assuming the market is friendly and our workforce is supportive of them, they're investing at least $42 million. I won't share the number that I expect that to be, but they're if you follow the news at all with West Rock Coffee, they're pretty conservative. It's a company that's owned by Berkshire Hathaway, so we don't have to really worry about stability. It's more so just what the market does post-election and how their product is received. I'm happy to answer any other questions, but this is, again, just to encourage the company, and they've done this already in some good faith with the selection of their general contractor and trying to source materials locally. But, again, this is just to maximize that initial investment that they made or will make.
Yeah, I have a question. I see on the bottom of it, it says passed by the phone court on November 19th, 2024. That's a,
next Tuesday.
Yeah, but it hasn't been passed yet, so we're just going to do it once it's passed by.
Basically, it's an anticipation of whether it's rejected or not.
That's okay. Yes. Sorry, I was
all right. Any more questions, Justice? Mr. Parks, thank you so much for helping on the deal and getting them here.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all's time.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. It's great. Anytime we can encourage economic development, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's why our county is in the position it is in, is due to the fantastic chamber that we have, and when our governments and chamber can all work together, you know, make stuff happen, bring more jobs in. All in favor of the passage of proposed resolution 24-07, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Justices, that concludes our regular agenda items. Now we're going to get on to our budget items. Just to give an overview, so on your agenda, you'll see, and it's kind of two pages, so you gotta kind of snap them together to read it right. Now I've got this little table in here. Tried to break these into groupings, you know. Didn't want to necessarily go in order, like number-wise, because sometimes it doesn't make sense as far as the people who need to show up before us and whatnot. So I did my best to break these out into groupings where we'll kind of go over the courts first. And by the courts, I just mean everything over there, not just the judges, but our prosecutor and other things that are kind of linked to that. After that, we'll go through the sheriff's budgets, look at all those. I call them others' budgets, but it's basically, you know, a lot of everything else, clerk, assessor, you know, all this other stuff. Then we'll time. Then in my mind, we kind of take a lunch break then after we get through there, and it'll depend on what time it is and everything else. And then we'll tackle all of our county judges' budgets, road shop, all those, some of those extra ones in there, and then we'll move on to the ARP budgets. That's the last thing I think we're going to take a stab at, is getting these ARP budgets in line and where they're at. But like I said, I ain't meeting here until 7 o'clock at night either, probably. If we hit a certain time and we're all tired, we'll call it good and pick it up on Thursday. So that's where we're at. So let's see. I just want to give a second to kind of talk through some of what you have here in front of you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Before you get started, would you like to go over these numbers that I just handed you? These are the revenue numbers. Should be right there to your left. It looks like this right here.
Okay, now. This one right here? Sorry, we got papers all over the place. This one right here? Yes. Okay, got it.
I'll hold up. Looks like it's plugged in. This is just a quick little over questions that were asked a while ago. So these were through October 31st. No. And I've kind of broken down. It's just essentially every revenue code. I'm mainly concerned about the revenue sections, or 7,000 section, or 7,100 series, or 7,200 series. So you can see our state aid is up 3.9%. Property tax is up 5.5%. If you look at the boxes to the right, on the right-hand side here, investment income's up 100%. As you know, we've had, along with the extra money we've had in ARP, we've also, but that's not counting, but we've also had great rates. We're investing wisely. Officers' fees down 24.1%. And you can see that jail fees there, that 7,800 series, that's where we're waiting on that pending.
That's why that 59
is so low. Yes. And it'll be actually be up. Franchise fees, which is not much of our budget, is up 32%.
Do you know anything about that?
Franchise fees?
Cable TV.
Used to have cable TV franchise fee years ago when I think there was a cable company up around Spring Hill,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of went out of business. I don't know that might not be some sort of internet.
Is it just the county saying, hey, you want to be here? Give us money.
Yeah, I mean, attorney?
Yes, that's
definitely. Okay. Maybe we can cancel that next year. Is that something we can do? No one protests to that? I'm not seeing any head nods. Pending further discussion. Yeah.
Then it's guided by state statute.
Okay, there you go. That's it. There we go. There's the hook. Yeah. It just seems, all right.
One thing I had mentioned is the circuit courts of fines, 7,400 series. I did line out on that. That's down 22%, but the district courts of fines up 26%. They kind of cancel each other out there. That total series is up 2.83%. The other is just miscellaneous things. I mean, you can read through there. There's some reimbursement in there. There's all kinds of different revenues in that section. But if you flip with me to that last page, and I look at total revenue. We've got some transfers in and transfers out and that kind of thing, but total revenue kind of tells me what we're doing in county general. So But actually, one more page, and that it actually does have the transfer to put it at the bottom there. So very last page. Right now, as of the end of October, we were up 2.5%, 2.57% over last year. When you add in that pending adult inmate housing reimbursement, that puts us up about 10.71.
Okay.
Because the last ad valorem tax collection is not in this number, that number is not going to hold it. You know what I mean there? It should go down actually a little bit. I think if we get that housing, that inmate housing, we settle out about 8%. Which is, like I said, this ad valorem tax went up 7.5% for this year, and the collection is only at 5.5%. I think that collection comes in a little bit better after. So we're going to see. There's a lot of guessing that comes in these last 2 months because so much revenue comes in. But somewhere I've got my total revenue for this year projected, but I don't have it in front of me. But, are there any other questions on that?
So just overall, we would expect these revenues to come in at about 8%, looking at just the very last box.
I think we're going to be like 8% above last year.
Yeah.
That's what I predict. But once again, there's a lot of movement here at the end of the year. And actually, a lot of it's already happened in this month. It's just not the way it goes.
And just this is all county general, right? This is all just Fund 1000 county general revenues.
Nothing else in that. That's where I do most of my work, because that's the one that has multiple departments and multiple people at any time.
Yep. So we can sit here and look through all these budgets. So the majority of the budget book, the majority of the budget we look at is obviously people spending money. But we can't spend money if we don't have the revenue where it needs to be. So that's just putting the puzzle together. I'll also kind of turn your attention to the bigger packet that says at the top 2025 projections in the top right corner. So as we go through the budgets and listen and hear and everything else, this is very meaningful to look at because it kind of lays out how much do we anticipate that they're going to carry over into the beginning of next year. What's the projected revenue? How much are they going to bring in? And then that means this is how much money you can spend. You can budget up to this much money. Some of these have a 10% fund reserve by state law that we have to hold back. And then so it kind of says, okay, well, this is how much is available to appropriate. You follow that column down, and then this is what their budget request is. So kind of out to the side, you'll see a number that's either going to be green or red or black if it's flat. But, you know, green means they're not spending more than what they have in that account, which is good because I don't think we can do that. Can we do that? We can't do that? Maybe.
Not statutorily.
There you go.
On the 12% on the county general, it's just always been common practice with this court to hold an extra 2% over the statutory.
Yes.
I want to mention one number in here on this sheet that I think we've talked about this before. The way we do budgeting is we take that carryover number, put our revenues in, our expenses out, and it gives you kind of available to appropriate. That number that's available to appropriate, $16,253,000, is statutorily and everything, you can budget to that number. The number I feel comfortable at budgeting to is this 25 projected revenue number, and that's $15,239,47. That way we're not, and honestly we can budget over that just a touch, you know, a couple percent, but we usually don't use all of our budget, we usually use 96-97% of our budget. If we stay our budget within what our projected revenue is going to be, we're going to continue to carry it that same amount here. Now, if we dip into carryover, that's totally up to you. That's your call. But just remember that over time, if it's something we've got to continue to expense over time, that's an issue. We've been through those years before. what revenue is great right now in the county. I believe we're going to add a world for this next year. It's going to be up, Chris, I think it's 8.32, I think, on the ad world tax. Doesn't mean you collect all of it this year, but it is going to be back to you. So I feel good about revenues on the online end, as good as we felt, like I said, over the last 3 or 4 years, especially since COVID. Sorry to interrupt there.
No, that's good. Perfect. Justice, y'all have any questions just about, maybe just about the documents in front of us, because we've got multiple things going on here. There's a big packet here that says courts budgets on it, and these are all the budgets that we're going to review for the courts. And we'll have other packets to look at later on. Any questions about, like I said, what's in front of you, the tools we have to work with to kind of get our job done here today? No, you're good. All right. Let's see. I did have one request that we hear the museum's budget this morning. I don't think that is going to be in our courts packet. Mr. Higgins? I know you are doing a lot of work behind the scenes making today happen for us, and I appreciate that very much. Do you have anything, any piece of paper with the museum's budget on it?
Should be in your budget, yes.
It's in this packet? Okay, so all of them are in here.
All of them, and so if you'll look.
Oh, wow, okay.
Look, I think there's a table of contents on the front, and let me get this, by budget number, so actually, they're kind of in order that Mr. Chair, if you wanted to go through these.
Oh, goodness.
Except maybe not the museum, because you can move it. But what you can do is, as you're going through your budget, you can check off the ones as you complete them on the front of this.
This one that I have in front of me seems to be all of the court's budgets. We just have the court's budget package.
You don't have that printed.
That's fine. That's what I was thinking.
Probably called it.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
It is online available.
That's what I was going to say. All right, it's online. You've got it online. I've got it online. Jake's got this book right here. I think their request this year is the same as last year's request. Is that correct?
Correct. All of the budgets are online under the meeting for today.
Yes. I'm going to give you all a minute to get the museum's budget pulled up. It's Fund 3401. That helps. Well, pull up the actual number. Okay, who, y'all want to come speak? I don't know who y'all got volunteering. Thank you for coming and joining us today, Councilman.
Absolutely, thank you for having me. Thank you, Grimes. I'm on the Museum Commission, and I serve as the treasurer. I do appreciate you guys helping us out. I need to address the family issues you've got to leave and deal with here as soon as we can. But thank you, Nick, about this.
Yes, sir. So just as the budget I'm looking at, the only difference between this year's request and last year's request are some required increases in insurance. Basically, that's it. Not health insurance. Building insurance and stuff like that. Mr. Grimes, can I ask you this question? And I just because I don't know the answer to it.
Yes.
Does the county own that building?
Yes.
Okay. So the museum foundation, nothing related to the museum owns the building. We own the building.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you, in my mind, and the other 12 justices may not agree with me, nor may the judge agree with me. I'm just telling you what I think. For what it's worth, which is not a lot, but it's I've heard y'all talk about the roof having an issue over there, right? Or the ceiling tiles or something like that, because of leaks or whatever the situation is. I know y'all have done a lot of work on the outside of the building and everything else. In my mind, it's our building, and we need to do a better job taking care of it as far as Faulkner County. And I'm not afraid at some point in time after maybe having some conversations with the judge and with y'all and everything else to see what that budget looks like and what do we as the county need to do to step up and kind of pay for some of the fixes and repairs over there. It's the oldest building that we have on the grounds. I guess that originally there, someone drugged the log cabin over here, but so we need to take care of it. You know, that's my personal stance.
If I could interrupt you just one
second
before we move on to the other part.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we've been working on for close to a decade now.
Yeah.
Private money we raised before COVID, fixed the entire exterior, kept the water, fixed the roof, fixed the water coming in underneath it with regrouting drains. So a lot of work has been done on the outside. Napos, the judge got Napos to come pro bono and lay out scaling and scope of it. This is another discussion another day.
Yeah.
But yes, that's a great discussion we need to have. We've already got some private money raised for renovations. We've got some pledges for renovation. But okay. Yes, after the first year, that's another discussion to be had about. So we do have a plan.
Yeah.
So have you guys learn more about that and get involved with that?
Sure. Perfect. So I think I would try to step up and commit some county matching dollars or whatever it is to just get it across the line from that perspective. Because I think what we find ourselves in is the situation we find ourselves in with the county is we're doing good at having money that we're carrying over year that I feel like needs to go towards capital projects, you know, or maintenance items and stuff like that, that maybe we can't necessarily take on a recurring expense year over year. But anyways, so that would fall under that bucket of projects. All right, Justices, I will point you to your 2025, let's see, projections page. This doesn't have page numbers on it, but you can flip until you get to fund 3401. These are in order of funds. So to me, the real concern with the museum budget, and we heard it last year when they came before us, is a dip in millage that they're funded off the voluntary tax and some other private donations, and we saw some of that paperwork earlier this year on kind of what those fund balances are and where they're at and that kind of stuff. But I'll say when it comes down to what we can do as a quorum court, I think the concern is that the budget request is $76,000, but there's only $43,000 available to appropriate. Because we can't spend more money than what we have. So that's really my concern. And so I'll open it up to see if y'all have any comments or anything, and then I'll let Mr. Grimes speak. But do y'all have any questions or comments with that? Mr. Grimes, did you have any comments or extra things that you wanted to talk to?
Yeah, can I pass something around?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be as brief as I can. We realize the museum is one of those things that's really low on y'all's radar because short history, in the early 90s, the museum was founded. I think in 2000, the voluntary tax was enacted to actually fund the museum. And so for 20 plus years, it cranked along just fine. The voluntary tax funded the operations. It was off you guys' radar. All was fine. Well, if you look at the second page in that first column of voluntary tax, and we've been tracking this for a long time, we've seen this coming. You see, 2017 through 2020, the voluntary tax was quite steady, almost $70,000 a year, give or take. For some reason, it spiked up in 2021, but then it dropped in 2022. You can see the drops, and the projection this year is probably $45,000, give or take, once the last 2 months of the year are done. It's $38,500 through October. And so we've seen it trending downward. And so we've met with the judge's office several times about this, just to kick around ideas and talk about it. And so, you know, there's options. I mean, you know, there's various things we've kicked around possibly. I'm just making suggestions. I'm throwing out things here, not making suggestions you've done necessarily. But one thought was that budget up there for the past 2 years has only reflected the one county employee, the director of the museum, and it's included utilities to the building and entrance on the building. That's it. All the other items, supplies, archival materials, toilet paper, everything, we've actually tried to raise them privately. We did those Amazon wish list and had great success. People bringing in all kinds of good stuff. So that budget simply reflects the bare bones items to keep the museum open. Okay. And so one option is, the biggest part of that obviously is the one county employee. An option is to carve that employee out of the museum budget, put him somewhere else, and then the millage would fund the operation museum probably forever. Another possibility is to take that position part-time in the museum, half the salary there, part-time somewhere else in the county, if there's somewhere else to put a part-time position. So split the salary into half museum, half somewhere else. Another option would be to take that position part-time, but then you're probably only open 2 days a week. So anyway, that's just some things we've kicked around, but again, it's obviously up to you guys. Oh, another option is to each year, if whatever the shortfall is, fund it from county general. So those are things y'all know, but that's some things we've kicked around the judge's office.
Perfect. Thank you. Justices, I have a recommendation, and I'll look to y'all for feedback or comments or input or whatever else. Mr. Grimes, I think my recommendation is, and without any objection from the justice here today, I mean, we all know how important the museum is. I mean, my family being from Faulkner County for over 140 years, you know, it's important to me. What I find myself, the pinch that I find myself in is we have other voluntary tax things, the emergency squad, the animal shelter, looking for my millage sheet, you know, extension service and all those things that we typically don't give to from county general just because we don't want to set that precedent. You know, this is, it's to live off of voluntary tax. So you laid out a number of options, you know, to do. What I want to do, what I would recommend is to take those options and to put them in your hands and to just request for y'all to bring us back a budget that we can pass based off of where we are with our numbers. Whatever, like I said, whatever kind of puzzle you're putting together there, whether it's the part-time or other money or this or that or the other. So that's kind of my request is I'm going to let you take your budget and then bring it back. And I'm not saying bring it back today, but we bring it back. We'll meet. We can meet Thursday night or we can meet Monday night, I think. And then to consider whatever you've got for us at that time. Like I said, we can't budget over what is available. Oh, and then, okay. And then as well, you understand you do the same thing. And I personally would just draw a line at funding from county general. Now, that being said, you know, like I said, I talked about the maintenance stuff. You know, to me, that kind of comes in on the other side of things.
Well,
that we can look at.
Right. Whether the museum is still operating as an entity, kind of still owns that building.
Yes.
It's a very short building.
Yep.
So, absolutely.
Yep. Justice, any questions? Inputs? Or anything?
Mr. Chair, I had my computer went out. I just ran those tabulations or voluntary tax numbers yesterday. It looks like for this year it's going to come in $53,000, and $51,023. They've got $53,000 in their voluntary tax this year, prorated from where we are in the last deal in Title VII. For next year, I projected that at 90% of that $53,000.
Okay.
Just because of voluntary tax, we're just so unsure of what extra comes in because
yeah.
They probably get 50 plus.
Yeah. Okay.
It would change that number. Like I said, I did 47.5 and they have about $1,000 in the first step. So it changes that number by $2,500 if you go up to 100%.
Okay. Judge?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to weigh in. I want to kind of express my views and my administration's views And I think perhaps probably share with what I believe your views to be, and certainly you can correct that if need be. But the museum is a county museum. It's somewhat unique across the state. There aren't many counties that have county museums. We do own that facility. I was encouraged by your suggestion that, hey, let's take on one way to help those operations is to take on what we own and manage and maintain. I think to be fair to previous courts and administrations, the county has done that in varying degrees with money and with assistance. I think we might be able to go further on that on those capital projects. In terms of the operational challenges, which since they are funded by volunteer tax, to be fair to you, what you are challenged with is you face the public having a full spectrum of opinions that they weigh in with. In the purest sense, that's what the public believes the county ought to spend on an entity that's funded by volunteer tax, right? And this is not the only one, and so you are challenged by that constraint with other entities too, all of which may be watching this live stream today, but certainly come before you at various points in time with financial challenges because of difficulties they're facing that are out of their control, by the way, just like this. As you will recall, the discussions we had last year when this really came to a head, the revenue shortfall, the first thing that needs to be mentioned is there is a volunteer tax revenue cliff that we have gone over, we as a county. And you're seeing the museum suffer through that, along with other volunteer tax organizations, animal control, emergency squad, and extension, and so forth. That's a challenge I see as a short-term challenge. So I personally, philosophically, would prefer that any local government that has had the public weigh in with a volunteer tax, which is what it took to get into the volunteer tax part, or the bills that go out there, Any time the public has weighed in, they have made their wishes known, and I think we need to track as closely as that to that as possible. But I don't think that's without exception. This is my personal view. When there is a cliff like this, if the county can step in and help bridge that gap, particularly when you see good faith efforts on the part of the purists or the subject matter experts, if you will, such as the board, such as our director. I can tell you that personally I've seen their wailing and gnashing of teeth behind the scenes. That I do believe they're giving every effort they can. They're coming up with creative parade floats, going the extra mile. Our poor director here is having some family issues right now, and she's also suffering from, I believe, a painful condition that it's a temporary condition. I want to thank you for being here. That's how much it means to them. And I think, by the way, anybody who knows Lanita knows how much she loves the museum and what it is for us now, but our future generations. She's doing a great job. So, but I do see an honest effort by them. I've also heard wild speculations about the Corn Court trying to shut the museum down, and that's primarily my reason for grabbing the microphone right now. In my opinion, you haven't done anything unfair to the museum at all. I just want to put that on the record. Either this committee or the full court. I understand, look, we're in elected positions, and that's just kind of the nature of public office. That's fine. But at the same time, I wanted the opportunity to say, I think you've done the responsible things you should have done thus far. You've given every effort to help kind of get this along through this volunteer tax cliff, and this applies not only to the museum, but to all the other entities that survive based on that volunteer tax. That's not the only challenge in front of you. There are various other programs that profit and nonprofit and public alike that have lost revenue streams in the last year or two, and you're challenged by that. All constrained by what Mr. Sanson, our treasurer, shows us to have as potential revenue, because at the end of the day, we can't do what we can't afford. In this case, we're not talking about a huge budget here. I mean, the entire budget is $75,000. I would imagine, I don't have first-hand recollection of it, I'd imagine that's pretty flat. Absent COLAs over the last several years. And so I don't think we're talking about a budget breaking amount. I think you have options, and whether that is through the conduit of, look, we'll just take more ownership of that building. I mean, it's our building. It's on our campus. It is our former jail. I still call it the library, by the way, from time to time. It's a building we need to preserve and take care of. That's our responsibility. I want to thank the museum board for taking ownership of that and, you know, really sweating bullets over a lot of the things. I've seen them, which I personally appreciate, on those long-term capital or maintenance needs. For this volunteer tax, it's probably a great suggestion. Hey, go back and rework that. There may be something where we can, by responsibility, take from that budget. If that doesn't quite make it, I would not be advocating against at least helping them pass this this cliff. I think they've got a plan going forward where they believe, I believe they will exceed revenue in this amount in the near coming years, just based on their efforts that they're intending to make. So to raise funding both in voluntary tax, in other words, get the percentage of people who check that box up, and then the fundraising efforts that they've made outside that volunteer tax. So that's my piece that applies to pretty much all of the volunteer tax funded entities. And so if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But that's what I wanted to say. I'll just close by saying I don't think you've got a reason to feel shameful or anything. I think you guys have done a great job regardless of any dialogue that's been out there. And I appreciate you being responsible, not only to each one of these entities, but each of them as a group, because you got to face all of them and then your taxpayers. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Judge.
I've got a couple of legal questions. First of all, when I hear Judge Dobson speak about the percentages of maybe it's the importance of the museum and some of the different voluntary tax things, I disagree a little bit with what he was saying, or maybe I misunderstood that the amount of people that pay into the voluntary tax is very, it correlates back to how many people support the museum or any of the voluntary tax entities. But with that being said, what I find more interesting is as the numbers go down, this is my question, because you also have a nonprofit that you can donate to the museum as well, correct?
Correct.
And I mean, I know as a taxpayer, I would much rather donate to a 501c3 and not pay a voluntary tax.
Right.
Nothing against our county government, but, you know, it's still a government.
Right.
So I would much rather donate there. So do you see that correlation with those donations going up and your voluntary tax going down?
Well, not just yet, but yes. Truth be told, like I said, for 20-plus years, this model worked, and there wasn't a need for a lot of external fundraising. Well, the board, honestly, the commission, honestly, it's made up of retirees and history teachers and people that want to go to the Blockhouse and teach kids how to make rope and lye soap and cook Pioneer Foods. I mean, it's not a board. It's not a traditional board that, you know, is a fundraising board. Okay? It's set up for a different purpose. It's set to archive and keep and do. All that said, you know, things have changed. And so, yes, we are working on private fundraising. It took us, if you'll remember, mid-year when the fund went upside down because of timing, you know, bulk of collections come in October. We had $30,000 in our Friends of the Museum Fund that we gave the county. Well, it took 20 years to raise $30,000. So we have about 4,500 right now. But yes, and again, the Amazon wish list things. Yes, so private fundraising is a piece of it.
And with that being said, do we have a percentage of how many people in the county are paying the voluntary tax towards the museum?
We've seen lots of data from the county. Not many. Not me. And it's I'm not an expert on voluntary tax, but it's one of those things where if it was the largest taxpayer in the county and it's the only one, that would be 0.001% of payers. If it'd be paid, that'd be better than 10% of payers who don't have very much.
know what I'm saying, dollar wise. So, you know, percentage wise, who pays is important, but, you know, I think it's important, the more the better, obviously, but it's important to have, you know, those who, everybody participates in. Yeah?
How much? I might have a little bit of an answer for your question. This is probably something that needs to be addressed in another meeting altogether. This is one that museum board, the museum along with the other voluntary village entities we've been talking about, we've been working in coalition to make some changes. But part of the problem with receiving voluntary villages and getting people to pay them is that a lot of people who have mortgages, and a lot of people have mortgages, they never see their tax assessment statement. And so the, hey, you want to pay your voluntary millage, doesn't get to them. So we've been working diligently since about June to restructure that message and find ways to communicate that to everyone in the county, not just the folks who own their home or who own their property, you know, and actually see that statement. So I'm not sure if that really answers your question, but I'm just letting you know that but there's been an issue with communication, and we feel that that's part of the reason that people don't pay that millage.
Do we have any sort of a timeline and who you need to work with to get that?
Yes, ma'am. We've been working. Museum, the Emergency Squad, Soil Conservation, and the Extension Office, and the Animal Shelter have formed a coalition, and we've been working with Sherry Gates to figure out ways to make it more visible on the tax assessment form itself, to make it more accessible on the online payment. We just discovered this year, just a few months ago, that when you go to pay your voluntary village, you can select which one you want to pay. And so let's just say you want to pay the museum. It will let you pay the amount that you're assessed, but it would not allow you to pay more. And the tax collector's office was not aware of that. So she called her programming people, and make them aware of that. And so going forward in 2025, I think that's on her to-do list to make sure that that has been changed so that people can pay more. We're also working to change a little bit of the language. I know that I think by law we're required to say voluntary tax, but people need to understand that it's really kind of more like a donation because you're doing it because you want to, not because you have to. So there are some things like that, and the coalition has been meeting since July. Our next meeting is the first week of December, and I think moving forward in January, we intend to have some more serious meetings with students and whoever else will listen to try and improve that communication message.
And my other question goes, again, back to support and the usage of it. I truly believe when we look at these numbers, seeing the people that pay the voluntary tax is not a true representation of who supports the library and who does not, or who supports the museum and who does not. Usage is what shows me more than anything. Do you have a percentage of how many citizens of the county, what the percentage of the citizens are that are using the library every year?
The museum?
Yes. Does the library?
Yes.
Sorry.
So we have a volunteer, we have a guest book, and every single person that walks in the door, we have them sign the guest book. Our numbers have increased steadily since we have reopened after COVID. You know, we were closed for a few months, COVID really hit us hard. I have translated that into a percentage of the county. It's a really small amount. But here's one of the other things. We are becoming a tourist destination. People literally come to the museum from everywhere. We have a big map in the front of the building when you walk in, the little pins, and it's like, hey, put in where you're from. We started that this year to sort of visually track where people are from. So not only do we have people coming from Central Arkansas, but from all over Arkansas, and I literally had people from Alaska this year. So, you know, it's those people don't pay voluntary millage. Sometimes they'll drop $3 or $4 in the box, the door. But every single person who comes through the door signs the guest register and says, "Hey, we really like it here." We have a little family from Bologna come in not long ago. They had 10 kids. They said, "Well, we can't really pay the voluntary millage. We can't afford to. If here's $5, we're sorry. That's all we can give." That kind of broke my heart. Yeah. So people do give. Our little voluntary donation box at the door, we might get a couple $100 a year out of it. That's just people who enjoy the experience. You know, we don't charge admission. We've always sort of had the principle that we want to be free for everyone. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but we have seen an uptick in people. I've got a class over there right now. I've got a class from University of Central Arkansas Museum of Anthropology class from supposed to be able to teach. I'm teaching them about how to become museum professionals. You know, that's one of the services that we offer. Our mission is to educate the public. So, you know, we're out there creating museum professionals and history professionals. We're helping with that in addition to just little kids.
That was, I guess, one of what my question and my point to that was the correlation between the amount donated and given doesn't necessarily correlate back to the participation of people that are, that visit the museum. And so if you could get some of those numbers together before y'all come back to visit with us, I myself would really be interested to see how many people each year are visiting our museum, how many classes are going through there, how many, you know, schools are you getting to visit. I think that says more than, you know, not everybody can afford to donate. But when it's a free place to go and visit, the interest definitely shows by participation. And I would like to see some of those numbers.
All right. Yes.
Yep. Just kind of off the top of my head, we've talked about this before on here. All voluntary taxes are getting roughly the same percentage of the tax base in the village, and I believe that's around 2%.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what we've talked about. That it's all of these voluntary get roughly the same. I believe as a percentage wise, the merchant's flight is a little bit higher percentage than the rest of them for the same tax.
And
we
also lost
Kimberly
Clark, is my understanding. Was one of the larger corporations that paid the voluntary tax.
In their last kind of situation. It's the difference between what Kimberly Clark was paying from what I understand and where we are right now. It's not like everybody's just turned off of this. It's not like a number of people have come up. It's a voluntary tax.
All right, Justice, so you've heard my recommendation is to basically bring us back a budget that we can pass that falls within the projected revenue line for that and whatever kind of that means for them. Because we can only pay out what we can pay out at the end of the day. And like I said, maybe early 2025, we can work with the county judge and the museum to try to see what kind of carryover money we have that we can appropriate towards more capital expenses, maintenance expenses to help them out with their building. Maybe there are some building funds they have set back that they can use for operational. I don't know, maybe not, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Any objections?
No objections.
Objections?
When would you like us back?
Thursday? You want to do Thursday? Thursday evening? Thursday evening. Can you do that? In 2 days. 6 p.m. Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Thank you all so much. All right, Justice, we're going to move on to our court's budgets. I'm just looking out in the crowd, and I see our wonderful prosecutor here. Ms. Crow, join us at the front here. And y'all are going to smack me upside the head with this packet, but I'm going to make you go down the list because she's here, then Judge Weaver's here, and then we'll see who else is here that we want to hear their budgets of so we can get them out of here in a more timely fashion. So if you'll flip in your packet about two-thirds of the way down, page 41, these pages, numbers are not in order, so that may not help any, but page 41, at the top right, it says fund 1000.0416, prosecuting attorney. And let's see, Jake, you want to make a motion for this budget?
Yeah, I make a motion to put out of fund 1000, department 0416, prosecuting attorney budget on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Judges, or justices, you'll see in this there's some money shifting around. If you flip over to the last page, I think the number's green, but it should be red, but still it's about 53, but most of that is the new position that we funded with a clerk's position. There's a few increases elsewhere. Ms. Cruz, do you have any color to add to that or anything?
Yeah.
Good morning. Not really, unless y'all
don't have explanation. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have any. I just wanted to allow you time for comments if you had any.
Yeah, the sum of it is that we've never had a full-time receptionist paid for by the county. And so that's pretty difficult, as you can imagine. So we are asking for a full-time position for a receptionist to work 8 to 4:30. And then we have yet again found ourselves a victim of budget cuts from one of our federal grants, Victims of Crime. That's really impacted a lot of prosecutor offices and other victim advocacy groups across the nation. But last year, the governor had released some ARP funds to cover it. We made that request again, but we've not heard back yet to see if that's going to come to fruition. If it doesn't, I want to go ahead and make my request that we add another victim advocate, because that's just a really crucial part of our the office functioning and the statutory mandate that we have. We also are going to ask the state legislature next year to convert all victim advocates across the state that work for prosecutor's offices to state employees. So keep your fingers crossed for us on that, because it is a mandate from the legislature. Yeah. But in the meantime, here we are.
Paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And any help that y'all can give us with the legislature would be fantastic. But anyway, it is a really crucial part. So these are the ladies who reach out to victims initially as soon as we get the case, that are in court every time we're in court, that in many instances sit in court with the victims, whether it be suppression hearings, trials, and we're there for the whole duration of the case. Pretty important positions. And so we've had, over the years, we've had numerous that were federally funded, and we already had one cut several years ago. We were able to absorb that a little bit better, because that's about the same time that StopDB took off. And so they took over orders of protection, which was really a better fit for them anyway, since it's a civil procedure. But now the one that's getting cut is a full-time, all day, every day, felony caseload. So it's a pretty big cut for us. So those are really our two main requests. Certainly would love to answer any questions if I can help explain any of that.
Questions? Justices? Good? You bow out there? Yes.
Again, I'm going to go back to the fines and fees, and you might not be the right person to ask. But of our fines and fees, we saw that those numbers were down this year. Where's the collection failing, and how much does that affect your office?
The fines and fees that pay for the current position in, make sure I'm on the same page as you, that are in 0428. Is that what you're talking about, Justice Coates?
I was just talking about in general.
There's you're talking about circuit court fines and fees. There's a little bit of juvenile fines and fees.
I'm looking. It goes back to that.
Yeah. Do you take in any fines and fees money?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't. Yes, ma'am.
You have said this. I mean, when would the clerk start?
When would
the clerk?
The receptionist or the witness? Well, so we have her currently in the office working part time, and so we're just asking for that to become a full time position.
And so that would just be like the next week or whatever. Like if she's already doing part time, then she would just transition to full time. Right?
Yes, whenever the funding was available for full time. Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, this budget is the budget as of January 1.
That's what I was
saying. So when we move this, when we approve this, it'll be for January.
I just want to point out that I'm definitely in favor of adding this full-time position. I think you've been in her office and seeing the workload that comes through there, and the people sending them phone calls and all that. But I just definitely feel like this is a very needed
All in favor of the passage of 1000.0416, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I think we have next the Victim Services and Domestic Violence budget, which I believe is Ms. Cruz.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion for that one. Should this be the next page?
Make a motion to put County General Fund 1000 Department 0429 Victim Services and Domestic Violence on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, this is the position that you just spoke about. Yes. And these may potentially be picked up by the state if we get the legislature to do what we want them to do.
That's correct.
Good luck. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
That, and Justice, is just for your reference, this is kind of where the Association of Arkansas Counties comes in handy. Issues like this, sometimes they decide to pick up that torch and help carry that for us and liaison with the legislature in that manner.
I believe they're working.
Yeah, and that's something that they're working on, because anytime they can see something that we're paying for as a county that really the state should be paying for, they're going to come in on our behalf and help lobby the legislature to appropriate funding for those pieces. I think that's the only increase besides maybe insurance stuff, I'm guessing.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
the only increase.
Additional questions? You mentioned stopping me previously. And this victim's services and domestic violence position would also cover those. But what's the breakdown? If you lost Stop DV's services, would this position absorb that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So they're kind of different. So the statutory duties that the prosecuting attorney has to inform victims and stay in communication with victims during criminal cases is unique only to the prosecuting attorney's office. So that's not a duty or a requirement that can be given to another outside, you know, jurisdiction or outside agency. So they come in and kind of handle some other types of referral for services and things like that, and certain order protection for civil proceedings. So this is in reference to you're a victim of a crime, prosecuting attorney has filed charges, somebody stole your lawnmower all the way up to capital murder, and this is the person who performs those statutory duties that are unique really only to the prosecuting attorney's office, which is really our pitch to the legislature, right, because it is a state mandate. So Stop DV would not handle these obligations that would be sort of different.
But if they lost their funding and you guys ended up having to take over orders of protection or all the things that they're doing now, would this position be able to handle that?
No. Now, not very few prosecutors' offices handle orders of protection. We were one of like 2 or 3 at the time when I took this office. But different, it's handled differently in each county, but we would not be able to absorb orders of protection.
Because this
is. That's right. This position is already existing. It's just it's paid for by a federal grant. And so she has a very busy, huge caseload of felony cases that she handles. She's just going to lose her job in January if we don't have additional funding.
Thank you.
Just as I was speaking with someone about some of our budgets for the court system, right? And that's a state. Now, we have state mandated things that we pay for, their office, their supplies, the building that they're in, stuff like that. But as you'll see as we go through here, we find ourselves paying for quite a bit more things than that. And someone asked me why that was, and I said I'm running on the Republican ticket and y'all don't throw shoes at me. But I think we've always been progressive with our court system as far as really getting in there and trying to fix the problem and do more for our victims, for the people who are showing up in courts. And that's why we as Faulkner County have always seemed to take that extra step to fund these extra programs, whether it's the drug program, the juvenile program, the Stop DV stuff, this kind of extra stuff that we're doing because we want to do better for our citizens. So I think that maybe some of that falls into this stuff that the state just won't agree to pay for. And we said, well, we're going to do better and we're going to step up and fund it. Is that right, Ms. Cruz?
I think that's right. Okay. And there are probably hundreds of these funded by different counties across the state.
Yeah.
But there are a lot on grants as well. And we're suffering from an overall federal budget cut from several years ago that's trickled down to Stop DV and other agencies here as well.
More questions on 0429? Just all in favor of passing 1000.0429? Say aye. You get Jim?
We have a total of 90 on personal services.
Any opposed? All right. 0429 passes. Ms. Cruz, what other budgets do you have with us today? Do you know?
429. That's 3025 crime. And 0403044 should also be there.
Did I skip them or did I not have them in the right category?
If you look on your front sheet, 3025, they're just right there below the 1,429.
Okay.
And then the 3044.
3025.0428, victim of crime, victim of witness. All right, and then it looks like we're just defunding this for some reason. Because I see zeros all across my.
That's the current budget. Part-time position.
Okay.
That's from fees. So if the new one were created, that one would go away.
Okay. Do I hear, do we have, y'all have a motion for this one? I guess. If they're not skipping that step.
Just real quickly on my side of my review, so you're not going to project any revenue into that fund this year.
That would be correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have that corrected. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Motion to put from fund 3025, department 0428, victim of crime and victim witness on the table for discussion.
Second.
Any questions, Justice? All in favor of the passage of 3025.0428, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And then you said the next one as well, you have the drug control. Prosecuting attorney is the next page. You have a motion for that, EJ?
Motion to put from fund 3044, department 0416, drug control, on the table for discussion.
Second.
Any questions on this one, Justices? All in favor of the passage of 3044.0416, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. You have any more in your stack, Mrs. Cruz, that you know of?
I don't believe I do.
Treasurer, do you have something?
Just to clarify on this, Fund 3044, I was just asked why the revenue going down. So this was money that was transferred over that was once held outside the county, and I believe about 2 to 3 years ago, law passed that it had to be held inside the county.
Correct.
They transferred all that money inside the county. That's why you're seeing there's really not much revenue that comes into this. It's just, it's there. What interest revenue and things like that we're going to see. It's going to be your projected revenue of that. So,
and that's federal money.
That's federal money. You'll have to excuse me, but I think that comes from drug busts.
It does. Something. That's right.
Yeah.
Perfect. We passed this one, didn't we? Yes. I think it is. Okay, let's make sure. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the paper that's in front of me and the version that's up here. So that drug buy money you're talking about, it shows zero on the paper version I printed and 16,000 up here under the
so the handouts are the last. We've had numbers coming in as late as this morning.
Yeah.
So these will get you close, yeah. But the handouts are the actual numbers we're looking at.
Okay, so we're showing a $0 appropriation for the drug buy money in 2025.
Yes. I guess we're buying drugs with other money, maybe.
Sometimes they are.
Okay. Justice, do you have anything else for Mrs. Cruz before we send her back to work?
Yeah. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for being here this morning. Judge Weaver joins us today, so we're going to fumble through our packet more and get her budget tackled. Judge Weaver?
Yeah, what,
I just need to lose my paper all the time. So
you'll have to remind me what division you're in. First division. That's what I thought. So there you go. Hey, that's on the very front of our sheet. Look, we're back to normal. All right. Congratulations. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Motion to put from Fund 1000, County General Department 0401, Circuit Court, First Division, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. This is a budget increase of $64.11 from last year. Justice, do you have any questions on this? Judge Weaver, do you have any comments or anything you want to share with us while we've got you here?
Just briefly, you guys were so gracious to my office last year. I wanted to keep it as close as I could this year to not ask for anything else. Also, I knew I had emailed a letter to the chair about my staff, as well as Nancy Eastland, so the clerk, both got a data quality award from the administrative office of the court. There are 85 circuit court's offices in the state and 126 judges' offices within the state. So we're the only judge's office that received that award. I think it goes hand in hand to show how myself and Ms. Eastland work together to do this data quality and cleaning up the cases. So there's actual data that's correct as far as we can be in Faulkner County. So we've been tackling First Division. We've helped Judge Clark as well with some of his. So I just want you to know that we were recognized by the state for the data quality that we've done. I sent them an email to the panel. But anyway, so I could not have done that without my staff, which you guys have so graciously helped me with. And so we thank you for all that.
Yeah. Justice, any questions on this budget? All in favor of approving 1000.0401, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Judge Weaver, do you have any more budgets in our stack?
Yep, that's it.
You only got one. Wow. Okay.
That is it.
Well, there you go.
And may I be excused? I've got to be.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yep, thank you so much. All right, Justice, I think from here on out, unless we have someone else from any of the other courts' budgets here, we're going to just boogie on down the line here. Jake, what you got?
Motion to put from Fund 1000, County General, Department 0402, Circuit Court, Second Division, on the table for discussion.
Second.
Justice, we see... I think what you'll see in these, I just want to call this out, is we flip to their third page here. You'll see that computer software support and maintenance agreement, that line item zeroed out. I think that's going to be a common theme throughout the budget, is that we're taking all those IT expenses that were spread throughout all these other county budgets and we're shoving them into the IT budget, I believe. And that way we have a better idea of really overall what we're spending on IT instead of just kind of smearing it out through all these other budgets. We'll see it all there together. Any questions?
So remember that when we're talking about the IT.
Yes. Right. Yes. I think we did that for all the county general, right? Because it was all the same. It was all wash either way. It was coming out of county general, whether it was coming out of 15 different departments or one department, it's still coming out of the same fund. Any questions? All those in favor of passing 1000.0402, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put from Fund 3031, Juvenile Probation Fees, Department 0431, on the table for discussion.
Second.
Any questions, Justice? All those in favor of passing 3031.0431, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion to put from Fund 3411, Teen Court, Department 0440, Teen Court, on the table for discussion.
Second.
Justices, I have a printout hot off the press on that one. Teen Court, this will be the latest request.
Any questions on any questions on the update, Justice? It's better than the old version, so yeah.
I believe what they did there was they got under the available. They were over.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor of passing 3411.0440, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put funds from Fund 3412 Juvenile Court Program, Department 0412, on the table for discussion.
Second.
Splat, any questions? All in favor of passage of this budget, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put from Fund 3505 Juvenile Court Grant, Department 0434, on the table for discussion.
Second.
I have an increase here.
Is there anyone here from Juvenile?
I don't think Troy's here. Their budget request is lower than their available, so they're in the green there. Going. Yeah, good. All in favor of the passage of 3505.0434, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put Fund 3508, Department 0443, just the juvenile pass through grant, on the table for discussion.
You'll see there's no budget request for that, but you still have to have it.
Yeah. Any second?
Maybe a second.
Second. All right. Do you have a question?
3508-0443?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And we do not have a budget for that, correct?
Well, it's just a. Yeah, we have to pass it with zero budget. All in favor of passing this budget, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You might have to batch some of these, Jay.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. You might can batch the next four of them, maybe. Because they're being used zero dollar there in the green.
Okay, make a motion to put from Fund 3509, Department 0441, Juvenile Accountability Block Grant, from 3514, Department 0434, Juvenile Court Grant, from Fund 3515, Juvenile Drug Court Grant, Department 0442, and 3517, Department 0444, Juvenile Officer Grant, on the table for discussion.
I'll second that.
Justice, any questions on these four budgets that are mostly being zeroed out and one of them only has $250 being requested? All in favor of passing those four budgets, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
On these grants, if somebody is not almost 100% sure that they're going to get this grant money, we typically don't project any revenue.
Okay.
We talked about this before, just a reminder. They may come in during the year when they get the money in, we'll receive it, and before they know they're getting money, we'll do a question.
Okay. Thank you. MJ.
Motion to put from Fund 1000 County General, Department 0403. Circuit Court, 3rd Division, on the table for discussion.
We have a second?
Second.
All right.
Where's 3rd Division?
This is it's in the green. So they're asking less for than they did last year.
That's what it's ever. I think I'm
Oh, really? Any questions on this one, judges? Justices? Justices? All in favor of passing 1000.0403, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put from Fund 3028, Drug Court, Department 0403, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, there's no change in this budget. And it just looks like it's a part-time salary that's paid out of this. From, I'm assuming, some sort of grant or some sort of special revenue source, since it's a fund of $3,000.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's drug court. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think they give about $5,000 a year. I'm not 100% clear on that.
Yeah, that's fine. More questions? All right. All in favor of passing 3028.403, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I don't have 3528. You have 3528. You're safe.
No.
I don't either. All right. We'll skip it. Go on to the next one.
Okay. Motion to put from Fund 1000.
3528.0403.
Okay. From Fund 1000, County General Department 0404, Circuit Court, 4th Division, on the table for discussion.
Second.
No changes here other than insurance. Any questions? All in favor of passing 1000. Yeah, you got a question? You good? All in favor of passing 1000.0404, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put from Fund 1000, County General Department 0405, Circuit Court, 5th Division, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Justice, any questions here?
Do we do anything with their service contracts? I mean, it's not a big deal. There's a difference. Maybe the service contracts that you don't call it from the 5th Division.
I don't think so. I know I've spoken with Mr. Higgins in the past, and he's said, and this is going to, we're going to see this too across the line. A lot of the maintenance and service contracts that we have, just our contractors are going up on. And I know our maintenance shop is doing a lot. We're seeing a lot of changes there, a lot of good positive changes. So I would guess that this has to do with that. Trying to take care of that building over there. Any more questions, Justices? All in favor of passing 1000.0405, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Motion to put from Fund 1000, County General, Department 0409, District Court, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. Let's see here. So this is District Court. What's your question, John?
Is this probation supervisor, was that a raise? It's not $1,000 more. $500 more.
I don't remember.
Oh.
what they talked about in Thursday night in personnel committee. You were there?
Sorry,
okay. That's fine. I wasn't there, so I don't know anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they zeroed out part time and gave each person an increase. Okay. To only show them one person. It's another budget that they're doing the other increase. Okay, this next. Margaret, so does that work when you take money out of county general and put it in a different fund? I didn't think so. Okay.
And that's Scott. He doesn't switch from side to side.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially from county to another fund.
So I think, justices, what we'll do is we can take these up Thursday. You want to do that? Jake, you want to make a, or withdraw your original motion or something on your original motion? Or make a motion to table these until Thursday?
I'd like to make a motion to table 0409 until Thursday.
Second.
And add the other one to it, too. 0408.
And 0408 to Thursday.
Second.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, and we already got through these prosecutors' budgets. So that gets us to County General Public Defender.
Motion to put from Fund 3024, Public Defender Fund, Department 0417, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, so Justice, we got a couple extra columns here. Normally it's just the 2024 appropriation and the 2025 appropriation, but we had ordinance kind of midstream in the year that looks like added this position. And so I think that's what's represented here. They're asking for $15,000 more overall.
Is there anybody from the public defender's office?
I don't see anyone.
Just by looking at this, Margaret, probably clarify. I'm going to guess if they did this, looks like it's all at matching. And if they did this public in the year, they didn't need as much matching. Probably this matching. That would be my guess. But somebody has to clarify that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a full year's worth of expenses.
That's why they put it so much more.
So after that, after you look at personnel, it's only a little bit more in utilities and a little bit more in rent.
I don't really feel comfortable passing this without having somebody to be able to answer some questions. So I'm going to make a motion to table this until Thursday night. And maybe that can help answer some questions.
Second.
Got a motion and second. All in favor of the motion, table say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Justice Lahowski.
Yes, sir.
Missing one, 3528-0403. I just received copies for those if you want to jump back to that one.
You're like Santa's workshop. You got elves back there working hard. I appreciate it.
Only for those that have a little.
Very, very good committee. All right, Jake.
All right, make a motion from Fund 3528, Peer Services Specialty Court, Department 0403, Circuit Court, 3rd Division.
Second.
All right, Justice.
Mr. Chair, here we go.
Yes, sir.
Revenue settlement.
Yes, sir.
I have no, if you look at your revenue page number, it's the last page of the revenue sheet there.
Mm-hmm.
I have $52 showing as carryover and no revenue projected. I would need to speak to them to see what kind of revenue they anticipate this year.
And I think Judge Paulson said he was in court this morning and had a UCA event, but could be here this afternoon.
Okay. But I will adjust that from
another direction. Okay. Justice, you want to table this one?
I make a motion to table. Fund 3528, Department 0403, until later this afternoon.
Second.
All right. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Don't lose that paper. This afternoon. All right. We are, let's see, we tabled public defender. Okay, we've got another public defender budget, Justice Coates. Do you want to table this one along with the other one? Although this one doesn't, it's got a little bit of increase in it.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to table this.
The next one's in the same.
Right. I also want to make a motion to table fund 3026-0417.
All in favor of tabling of the motion to table those two ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Judge Braswell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I was just going to tell you, we passed all of your budgets.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We just did it like not too long ago. So you are.
I appreciate it.
Do you have any extra comments or anything for us while we got you here?
Thank you very much.
I thank you, Judge. Thank you. We have donuts here.
Okay. Just for showing up.
I look like I need a donut.
Yes.
Motion to put from Fund 3511 Circuit/District Court Grant from Department 0511 Court Security Grant on the table for discussion.
Second.
Mr. Treasurer, did you have something? Any? This is zero. All in favor of approving 3511.0511, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Mr. Treasurer, are you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Going back to 3027, I think we'll take it up Thursday night. We'll need to talk to them also about the budget.
Is that a district court?
That's district court probation fees.
District court probation. So I'll just read and.
And that and 3026 as well. And that's public defender investigation. I'll try to get in touch.
So on
3026 and 3027.
So on 3027, I'll just put it together for you. The budget request is $36,500 over what the available to budget is. Like I said, we'll talk about this Thursday night. You have a letter here. The judge understands the revenue is showing not to be enough, but in order to run a successful probation department and sobriety court, we need this budget requested for the new year. He's requesting a general revenue appropriation so the funds can be put into place for this budget. Let's see. Current on probation, the county, we have 156 individuals, and since January of 2024, we have had 23 fail probation and 56 individuals successfully complete their time. So there you go. That's all I got for you. We can talk about that on Thursday. So.
Just so that I'm close off here, public defender, that's public defender, but this district court probation piece, who?
I think that's Carnahan.
Okay.
Yes.
If we're talking about, I think we touched on this just a little bit before. It's bad policy, bad accounting to me. So revenue fund in one fund, and then go spend it out of another.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be if you are, instead of moving the money out of county general fund, then appropriate it.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%. It would be a, basically a new department in county general. Yeah. Okay, I think, are we on our last one for this one? Justice Moss?
I'll do the same thing to be done on that position.
Yeah, where they split the part-time out.
Y'all need to create a position in the other one. Pay that part out. That's pretty cool. You would need to pay it out of the two different funds.
Yeah. No, those would be... I think we're good for it.
All right, motion to put from County General, Fund 1000 from Department 0410, District Court Judge's salary on the table for discussion.
Second. I just have a question about this. This is, do y'all know anything about this? Anybody know? Maybe? Okay, tell me about it.
So this is a mandate where years ago when the state took over district funding of District Court Judges, they said, hey, whatever you're paying now, you've got to go with that. So it's the payment that we have to make. I believe we make it to our DOJ or something, that our IRC or whatever it is. But this is pretty standard. Every year, same thing. You fill out, simple checks.
So does each county pay district judges different amounts?
Well, we can talk in the middle of my paper right here. But years ago, when they started, you know, all the counties paid for their cities, I guess, your district judges, paid the county paid for some of them. Whatever you were paying at that time is what you continued to pay, or a percentage of it or something. Yeah. And then the state took over the payment.
Okay.
And we're talking about 25 or 30 years ago, probably now.
Okay.
When they started the admin of justice, maybe 1995-ish.
All right, Justice. All in favor of passing 1000.0410, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Congratulations. You made it through the court's budgets with only a few casualties. I'm just going to look at it. It's 11 o'clock. We are way behind schedule. So we're doing good there. It was just an estimate anyways on this first one. All right, so we have a request to take up the emergency squad budget right now. Mr. Justice Moss, if you want to make that motion.
All right. Motion to put from Fund 3400, Department 0520, Emergency Squad, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Second. Just looking at it here, don't see a whole lot of big changes. I'll open up for questions. Justice, any questions? You have anything to tell us, sir, from the Emergency Squad?
No, sir. Well, we moved... 10,000 out of the small equipment purchase. We were moving it over to travel and meals and lodging. 2,500 on each one of those in the 2,000 line items. That increased the rent for machinery and equipment, 5,000. That left us with 4,000 difference, and we're holding that in reserve because of the anticipated increase in the fleet liability insurance. We've seen that increase.
Yeah. The only thing I think I really point out is we have a projected revenue of about $90,000. The budget request is 212. Now, while those numbers are off, they do have a good amount of funds that they're carrying over year from not spending any in past years. So really just if the budget amount is consistently over the revenue, you'll spend that money down and you'll just have to adjust some things, but I'm sure you are aware of all that.
If I might.
Yes, ma'am.